Glory to God. Glory to God. Today, I'm going to be speaking on the elephant in the room. That's the title of this sermon, The Elephant in the Room. The elephant in this room is called guilt and shame. Many of us, all of us, are guilty of, but we don't point to it. We don't talk about it. But today, you know, the Lord said to me, begin to deal with certain things that people must overcome if they have come into an intimate relationship with me. Our theme for this year is take your place, coming back into an intimate relationship with God and saying, Lord, I want to relate with you. And if you're going to walk in this fullness that God has given us, you must learn to overcome certain things. I've talked about the battle over your mind, thought life. I've talked about your lip, controlling your mouth. Today, we are going to overcome the subject of shame and guilt. Many of us are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are never aware and can never accept what he has done for us. And guilt is beating us down. So even though God calls us his children, we are walking not confident as being his children. And so we can't ever really represent him in our community, in our world, in the things that he's called us to be, which is not helpful for us. So look at Psalm 32, 1 to 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2, blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Salah. I acknowledged my sin in you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Salah. Salah means rest. Hallelujah. This is how David felt when he kept sin and did not confess about it. God's hand was so heavy upon him that it felt like the scorching heat of summer in his life. Brothers and sisters, guilt is such a way that no matter what you do, you can't run from it. You can choose to pretend that it is not in your life, but if you don't deal with it, it will master you. It will control you. And the thing is this, God will want to deal with it in your life. And if you do not allow and accept it to be dealt with, it will never give you the freedom the Father wants for you. It's a big thing Satan will use to keep us in bondage. Even though Jesus has died, he will use it to keep us in bondage. So what is this elephant? Shame, guilt. Let's look at what guilt theologically is. It's a verdict, an awareness of failure against a standard. Anytime you fail against a standard and you are aware of that, that is guilt. And now shame is a feeling, a sense of exposed failure before someone else. So that's why we have secrets. I don't want to feel shame. I don't want to, you know, even though I'm guilty, if nobody knows, that is fine. But every time it comes up and people know, you feel ashamed. You feel disgraced. Every one of us has to attest to this. You see, guilt and shame are ingrained in our human experience. We are all too familiar with them. But this is not how it was from the beginning. From the beginning, God didn't create this world with guilt and shame. You see, creation began void of guilt. There was no guilt in our world. The standard was upheld. Our first parents who were created, Adam and Eve, were perfect, and they had a perfect relationship with God and between themselves. These two creation, Adam and Eve, were perfect beings. God looked at his creation and he said, it was perfect. And the relationship was so healthy, very perfect. They had a face-to-face conversation with God on a regular basis. God came to visit them in the garden. God gave them responsibility over the surface of this earth, over every creation in this world. And he said they should master them. And even between the two of them, everything was perfect. Adam did not know what it was like to live a broken life. And Eve did not know that as well. And so when you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, the word of God says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were naked. They didn't know they were naked. They fell chippy-chippy-chippy before each other. They fell willy-willy-willy before God. They were not ashamed. I see how my sons, Joel and Ezra, sometimes they'll be running around the house and things will be dangling around and ripping. They'll be jumping around. And sometimes someone will ring the bell. They want to go and open the door with their... I said, come on, go and dress up. These people did not know shame. This is what the word of God says. They were fully exposed before God and one another, yet without shame. There was no failure or broken relationship to experience. Oh, Lord. But when you go forward a bit, now look at the beginning of guilt and shame in the chapter 3. Of Genesis, we see that they doubted God. They began to rebel and disobey God. We see perfect relationship altered in a seemingly irreplicable way. It got broken that it couldn't be repaired anymore. Oh Lord. A perfect relationship that was broken and it couldn't be repaired. It was so painful. You know what they did, what Adam and Eve did, the doubt that they walked in was not that what they did was so powerful to the extent that they hurt God and wounded God's ego over man. And it wasn't just that. By doing that, they began a generation of guilt and shame. They began this life of guilt and shame. They in effect made themselves with their own desires and appetites. They decided to disobey God. And they began to create their own world from that moment. God's perfect world that he created for them was totally changed by their actions. And then, now, you see in chapter 7, in the verse 7, that God had to come to Adam and Eve. God is coming to Adam and Eve. God is coming to Adam and Eve. The night is falling. It was quiet. And then let's continue reading in verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. Read with me, please. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to them, "Where are you?" So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Adam and Eve heard God's voice, and now suddenly they are hiding from God. The perfect relationship was there no more. They now realized they were naked, and so they began to run from God. They began to hide from God. And now they realized that they were naked from one another too, so they began to cover up themselves. What a sad story here. I can imagine as their mouths were full with the fruit, and as they swallowed, their nakedness dropping, their sight opening and beginning to see a different dimension of life that they never ever knew of. Suddenly, they were naked. And by virtue of them being our forefathers, our ancestors, guilt became part of creation. You see, living with the mark of guilt is strange. So let us look at living with guilt, right? Let's look at living with guilt. In many ways, there are so many ways where it plays up. But I want us to pay attention to three ways. Today, our world is tarnished. It's not perfect anymore. There is brokenness between us. And the Apostle Paul touches on this. How it's all happening. The Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 18. It says, "As it is written, then is none righteous." There is none righteous. So if you think I came here to point fingers at you, understand that I understand I'm not righteous too. Yeah? We are all not righteous. There is none righteous. No one, not one. Verse 11. "There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." Verse 13, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of what? Cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. He sums it all up in the verse 23, saying, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, in the chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, continues to say, through one man. So look at this. Chapter 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of all sin. Because all sinned. Through Adam and Eve, sin came into our world, and suddenly guilt became our portion. We were able to do all these sins that the Apostle Paul touches upon. And even now, many of us, having been believers, having been children of God, are, one, guilty of our actions all the time. Every time we step out and we do everything we are doing that is not in alignment with God's word is against the standard of God. And so it makes us guilty of sin. It makes us guilty of sin. You see, the guilty verdict began with our forefathers. And we must accept it. We must see that this elephant is here. And we must address this elephant. But guess what? How do we naturally behave when we have to confront our guilt? I want to give 3 points. I've told you there are so many things going on. But 3 is this. We shift the blame of guilt to avoid shame. That is why the elephant remains. That is why the elephant remains. We shift it to avoid shame. But the guilt is still there. This is exactly what you remember, Adam and Eve, they felt in the Garden of Eden. They are our forefathers. Our first parents on this earth, that is what they felt. The moment they felt guilty, they couldn't approach God like they could anymore. Now they are hiding. God was calling after them, Adam, Adam, and they are hiding behind a tree. God, a tree that God made, they were hiding behind it. And that is the exact position many of us find ourselves. We realize that there is sin in our life. We realize that we are guilty of God's standard. And instead of facing up to it or coming to God with open hands and accepting our position, we rather run from it to avoid the shame. I know many people who have run from churches, who have left churches because they did not want their sin to be dealt with, to be pointed at. You know, I remember when I was in UK, there is a shop called Tesco. I used to work there at night. It's just like maybe you would go to ShopRite here, and it's a grocery shop. And I was working at night. And that time I was a very young, on fire Christian. So while I was filling the aisles, I was just speaking in tongues. And you know, everyone is giving an aisle. You keep working the aisle, and another person is working on the other side opposite you. So while I was praying and praying in tongues, I knew that my spiritual language changed. I said a few things that I didn't know. But there was a guy, so when we went to break, the other guy that was working opposite to me, he came to me and sat by my side and he said, Kwesi, I know you are a pastor. I said, and he said to me, you know what, I know that he's from his country, he's an African, and his country, they speak Swahili. And he said to me, you know, you just spoke to me when you were praying and speaking in tongues. You spoke to me that I should go back to my church and I should go and apologize. God wants to use me. I said, whoa, really? So when my language changed, when I noticed that my language, I spoke in Swahili to the guy. And basically the reason was that he's actually a very committed Christian. He was a leader in his church, and he committed a sin. He slept with a young lady in the church, and the girl got pregnant. And instead of staying and dealing with the consequences of it, he left the church, and him and the girl are leaving now. At that moment when we were talking, they were still not married. And the Lord moved in my tongue, and I spoke to him in Swahili. What's the point I'm trying to raise? Many are in that position. We run from the guilt instead of facing, and the shame that comes with it, we don't want it, so we run away. We run away. But that is not what God wants for us. You remember? God is supreme. He knew they had eaten the fruit already, but he still came. Adam, Adam, Adam. You see, your being here this morning is not by mistake. And me speaking, this was the word I was going to speak on last week, and the Lord said, no, don't speak on it. Speak on the control of the tongue. And today, you sitting here is not a mistake. God has ordained that you do not run. God is coming to us. He's coming. Adam, Adam, maybe he's calling you. Jumi, Jumi, Antonio, Antonio, Michael, Michael. This is your time to listen to the voice of God. Maybe he's calling you. Aaron, Aaron, you must listen. Don't run. He's calling you. Allison, Allison, you must listen. Don't run. Even if you are hiding, it's time to step out and say, I'm naked, Lord. He knows. He sees. The word of God says, where would I go to run from you? David, you remember the first passage I read? He said that when I chose not to confess of my sin, I couldn't live with it. This same David says that, where would I go under this earth, on this earth, to run from you? Everywhere you go, it's against you. God's finger is constantly against you. You have sinned against me. You have broken my standard. But look at what. I love you. I want you back. Whatever it is, we can mend it. God wants to mend it. And he is making the first call. So don't run. Now, the second kind of person is this. We deny guilt and feel no shame. We downplay what sin is. We've given names to our sins now. Oh, you can't say I like to watch pornography. You can't say, oh, I masturbate at night, or I went to commit adultery. I slept with somebody's wife when I'm married. You say, oh, I had an. I had an unrighteous affair. Hey, hello, break it down. What did you do? You know, it is sad. We will not admit this even in the church. You know, when you have sinned, many of us would rather not come to our pastor to confess. It's not like I want you to come and confess to me. Confess to God. But sometimes we go to a counselor. Oh, I don't want my church to know. I'm going to a secular counselor to go and apologize. And then when you go there, he tells you, but there's nothing wrong with what you have done. They don't see it the way, as a man of God or a woman of God, you are supposed to see sin. So they counsel you from their point of view. We downplay our sin. And the elephant is still in the room watching you. Oh, and so many sins. I don't even want to go into it. You know the things you downplay in your life. You know the things you downplay. But it is against God's standard. The truth is that we cannot deny our own guilt. Whatever you do, you can. And you see, it's even because of the guilt. That is why you try to downplay it. So that you can feel some level of peace with it, but you can't have peace with it. We cannot say that it doesn't exist by struggling to look over it or by comparison. And so, listen to the parable that Jesus told. Look at Luke chapter 18, 10 to 15, 14 with me, please. Some of us compare. if this man is a pastor and he's doing this, oh, me, I'm okay with what I'm living with. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 14. Two men, Jesus speaking, he gave a parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortionally unjust, adulterous, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beats his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Hallelujah. Don't come to God as a pastor. Me, I don't go to God, I'm a pastor. No. Don't go to God as a prophet or as an usher. Some of us, we like these titles. Or the worship team member here. Sister Jumi, don't go to God like that. Remember your place. When you go to worship God, when you are calling on God, go to him as open as you are. He sees everything. He knows everything. Don't downplay things and begin to exalt, make up things, images that do not exist before God. And this man was comparing himself even to that tax collector and saying that, I'm not like this man. And the tax collector kept beating his chest. Lord, have mercy on me. Are you calling for God's mercy? Are you calling for God's mercy? Lord, have mercy on me. You see, the Lord Jesus says, if you do that, you will be justified. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Our humanity puts our guilt and failure on full display before our holy God. We may ignore our guilt because no one else knows about it. We may deny it because we have kept it a secret. We may have downplayed it so much that the feeling of shame that we had initially are a faint echo. But we perish in the same guilt and destructive nature of guilt. Brother and sister, you must not downplay it. Do everything you can to be clean with God. Whatever it is, it's gonna get better. This sermon is getting better and better. As I'm reading it, I'm excited. That the elephant is being exposed. The third person is this. We are consumed by guilt and owned by shame. Some of us are it is common with us. Guilt commands our life and controls us. Some of us, everything we do is look at our past. We can't look beyond where God is taking us. Because of things that we have done, because of sins that we have committed. I'm not saying because of mistakes that we have made. Every decision to sin is not a mistake. But you did it. And some of us, all we do is remember that guilt. I bet you if I had said that I'll be speaking on the subject of guilt and shame, some of you will not be here today. He's going to catch me. Some of us are running. We don't want to confront it. Because because of how it makes us feel, it's keeping us in a position where we don't see any way out. All we do is the past. And Satan is also very good at bringing it to you. That you want to try and pray, then he will begin to tell you, do you remember where you came from? Do you remember what you were watching yesterday? You remember the things you said? The day. You know, it has gone on so much like that that we have now come to this place where we have accepted that nothing good is going to come of us. So, forget church. If I go to church, they're going to just be telling me that there is a sin in my life, there is this in my life, and there is no way out. Some of us have given up trying to stop. Some of us, we call it our addiction. It's something I do. My genie. Pastor, stop talking about it. As for this, I can't stop. I can't stop. We are never good enough to undo our failure. We have to be able to rewrite the wrong. God gives chances of that. So look at Romans chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. I told you it's getting better. Therefore, as though... I want to read it loud so that you get it. If you're sleeping, you wake up. Oh, he's talking about my guilt again, my shame. Oh no. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. Make note of it and meditate on it. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. Jesus chose the path of obedience. And so today, you can be made righteous. You can also begin to walk in obedience of God. You see, Adam and Eve chose to disobey, and you became a sinner. You cannot continue. That is why God has also said in his word, prophetically, that the children will not suffer for the suffering of their parents, their mistakes, the things that my parents do. God has said in his word that he will not account it to me. Because of one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, I can also walk in obedience. The fact that I am born to a father who likes women doesn't mean I should also grow and love women, like women. I respect women. I love my wife. She's enough for me. The fact that when you were young, somebody said something and did something, and do you get why we've been doing this series? The power of the mouth, the thought life and all that is so that you begin to walk in freedom. The fact that this happened to me a while ago doesn't mean I must continue in it. Jesus has come to liberate me. Jesus has come to set you free. In the name of Jesus, you are free. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you are free. If that is what taking your place is all about. The son, the prodigal son, decided, I'm not continuing in this again. I'm going back to my father. And so, as a child of God, who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, who has begun to mend the relationship, whatever you did, whatever sin you committed, it is past. Behold, the old has passed away. Now there is new newness of you. There is newness of you. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, because Jesus died on the Calvary cross, Jesus chose the position of obedience. And because his blood is the uncompromisable blood that has been shed on you and I's behalf, when we come in the name of the Father, look at what it says. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Don't be afraid that you will go back and commit that sin again. Jesus will cleanse you. The blood of Jesus cleanses. So, the decision to remain guilty cannot keep holding you bound. You can decide today, I'm going to live for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my past. And Jesus will give you grace. He will cleanse you going forward. That is what you need. That is what you need. Through Jesus, we are able to respond to guilt with belief and repentance. You can repent and you will be forgiven. Now the elephant in the room will be exposed. So look at Romans chapter 6, 17 to 18. But God be thanked that through you, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of what? Righteousness. You don't have to continue in that sin. You don't have to continue in the life of sin. You are now a slave of righteousness. Jesus' yoke is light. It's not heavy. It's not a burden. It is good for you. So he says that, call on me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This shame, this guilt you carry, Jesus wants to lift it off you and put righteousness on you so that you can walk free. You can walk free. You see, Jesus, in the story of Lazarus, as he resurrected Lazarus, Lazarus died. The community deemed him dead. They put him in a tomb and they covered it. When Jesus came and he said, open the tomb, they said, Lord, we cannot open it. It is stinky. By now, he's smelling. Maybe your sin is smelling on you. Maybe your sin is attached to you, and everywhere you go, you feel like. But listen to what Jesus said. Take the tomb from there. You see, the title that people have put upon you, Jesus is able to roll it off you. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus is calling you forth. You know, the person that he had created you to be, Jesus is calling that forth. You see, God has chosen to rewrite the story of human existence. Satan thought he could come in the middle somewhere and distort it. And the distortion happened by God through Jesus Christ has chosen to rewrite the story. And so when you accept Jesus, Jesus says, I'm writing your story again. I'm beginning it. And so the true you, the world that is defect, can Jesus now is going to call the right you out of yourself. Hallelujah. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And so in the name of Jesus, I speak that all of us here shall come forth in Jesus' name. That shame will not hold you bound forever. And so in the name of Jesus, whatever shame that is upon you, whatever guilt you are carrying, today in the name of Jesus, we break it bounds upon you in Jesus' name. That today you shall be able to walk with your head lifted up high in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And so James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your transgressions to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The perfect, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You see, don't hold that secret forever. It says, confess your sins to one another so that we can pray together and that you will be healed. Some of us, I know a while ago, a man of God told me a story. He's a deliverance minister, that they had a friend who was very sick. They prayed. I mean, different people, different. Everybody was praying. The brother was not getting well. So one time, a sister was praying, and the sister received the revelation that the brother has committed a certain sin that he's supposed to confess. So the sister went to tell the brother that the Lord has revealed to me you have committed a certain sin, and you must confess before you will be healed. The brother did not confess. And they kept praying for the brother. On the brother's sick bed, so his body began to rot to the extent that it got to the point he couldn't be saved. So now when he was about to die, that is when he said, I am sorry. Tell this sister that she was right. She heard right from God. I indeed committed this sin. He slept with a young girl. Why is it always the brother sleeping with young girls in the church? I slept with this young girl and she got pregnant, and I asked her to abort the pregnancy so that my shame would not be exposed. And since everybody has been saying I should confess, I am sorry, I know I'm dying, but I want to confess my sin. Whoa, brother. See what the Bible is saying here. Let's go back to James, yeah? Confess your transgression to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Some diseases and sicknesses are as a result of secret of sin in our life. And so the church will be praying for you. Lord, heal our sister. Ratabosh, nagados, brekedegedegedegede. We are shaking things. And some demons are receiving missiles, but nothing is happening. You have to confess the sin. Sometimes you must do it not because I will hear your sin or a sister will hear your. No. For your own good. The word of God says do it, so you must do it. And break its power over your life. I pray you will heed to this counsel. I pray God will strengthen you. God will give you boldness. You will walk free. And you will not be ashamed to say, you know what? I'm struggling with this. I've done this and I need freedom from it. I know when I was in Spurgeon's College, our lecturer of doctrine of God told us a story of how in his church there is a brother who came out and said, I have desire for men, but I know it is sin. So the brother was literally, at the time when he was teaching us, the brother was living alone without a man, without a woman. He had chosen that he would never defile himself, but he has desire for men. Wow. And the church received him. They prayed. They are constantly praying for him that he will not sin in that area. How many of you are able to talk about your sin and prayer is going on for you so that you don't fall in your sin? Many of you here who are battling what is called, you call addiction, maybe drunkenness, maybe pornography, sex. Are you asking somebody to pray with you? It says pray for one another. If you look, when I was growing up, I was taught this. If you realize that you have been saved by Jesus Christ and you commit this sin once, second time, a third time, you must understand that this thing is seeking control over you. You must go to another brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord that can stand with you in prayer, and you need help in praying and breaking its bond over your life. How many of you are doing this? Don't run. Don't be ashamed. Jesus has set you free. That's why we are supposed to be brothers and sisters, and we are supposed to walk in love. So that in love, you see, the word of God is a perfect love, cast out all fear. Nobody will feel that if I come out and I say it, they are going to ostracize me. They are going to chase me out of the church. They are going to beat me around. They are going to gossip about me. There is no place like that in Scripture. See, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit speaking through Apostle Paul and him writing this, he's seeing a perfect church that people can feel free to say, this is my struggle, and a brother stands with you and prays with you and not go around talking to people. That is why last week we spoke on the controlling of our tongue, the power over our tongue. God bless you. So we are going to have communion. We are going to have communion. We're going to have communion. We're going to have communion. God bless you. Hallelujah. James chapter 6, verse 53 to 58 says, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. 55. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Hallelujah. Jesus says, if you depend on him, if you look up to him, if you hold on to his relationship with you, you will live. Take time and pray. And as you pray, Sister Jumi is going to come and sing. And just walk forward as you feel led. Come and take one of these elements and go and sit down, continue to pray.